Kevin, you got everything sharpened up. You're ready. Everything's packed. You got your dustbuster. You got your proper sword. You got your lightsaber, battle armor in case you need it.
Not taking a lightsaber this time. I'm going to Sea Coover, so I just need regular swords.
Any throwing stars, you know, just a little extra advantage there. You never know.
Yeah, that might be helpful, actually.
You've got your reservations at that certain blues club all set up?
I do, yes.
Okay, yeah. Just me.
I'm ready to go, man. I am all packed right now. The only thing I need to pack before I leave on my trip to Seacouver tomorrow, otherwise known as Vancouver, Canada, is my podcasting stuff here that I'm talking to you with. I just need to shut that down after we're done here, and I'm ready to leave tomorrow morning.
I'm very jelly. I need vacation. But you know what? You're gonna go have fun. I'm gonna man the ship. You know,
I'll be gone for 3 weeks, buddy. You sure you can be okay? I'm gonna be in Vancouver for 1 week, and then Aaron and I are heading to California.
I've already gotten confirmation from Taylor Lautner's people. He might do it.
Ooh, nice.
He just said he couldn't do it with Alex.
Did he send you an email from his Taylor Lautner? Gmail account.
He did say something though about not doing it with Alex and Michael because of misappropriation of Taylor Lautner fan club fees.
Yeah, those guys. So
something about extra spending in Chicago by Morris. I don't quite know what that was about, but
I have an idea.
Like a few extra pieces of deep dish or something like that.
Something, yeah.
Well, speaking of Chicago, and considering last week we had a huge dosing of Beru stew, and we know we've got some major Star Wars stuff coming up, Kevin, between The Mandalorian.
Yes, we do, and we need to talk about it.
We got Mandalorian coming up. We got all the stuff on Disney Plus, including Clone Wars Season 7. We got Episode 9 coming. Probably a few other things, even though I know Star Wars is going to go on a little hiatus, at least movie-wise, after Episode 9. We got the Cassian Andor series coming. I got to think they're going to announce some other things for Disney+. I want to ask you real quick before we get to the business we need to discuss, though, because it's something we didn't bring up in last week's show when we were talking Bruce 2. Yeah.
What?
It was just a thought I had, because we talked about the hiatus that apparently has been announced for the movies after Episode 9. Do you think that's in?
You're talking about
the Star Wars movie hiatus. Do you think that is so they can really give a lot of attention to what's coming on Disney Plus and develop some things to fill in the gaps between films, so they can have a little bit larger gap between films with something Star Wars still going on, so they're not stacking the films so close together?
Yeah, I think they're going to let the Ferrari of this so-called Disney Plus ride. They're going to take it out for a ride and entertain people with that and the shows, the exclusive shows that are coming out to that, and then let them handle the movies in turn. From what I heard, they have a 10-year plan they're going to work on, which, as far as I know, includes the Benioff and Weiss Game of Thrones creators trilogy, which is rumored to be the
Old Republic.
What's it called? The Old Republic, and of course Rian Johnson's supposed trilogy as well.
But you know, since we're talking Star Wars, Kevin, I'm gonna let you.
Now, just to clarify though, I don't know when that 10-year plan.
Yeah, that's
starts.
True. My guess is.
So I mean, I'm not saying it starts right now, but if you're looking at a trilogy of at least releasing a movie at least once a year, you got. That'll be 6 years unless they space it out a little bit.
I'm going to guess every other year for a Star Wars film going forward. I think they realize that maybe once a Star Wars film every year might be a little too much.
Well, they definitely realize that a Star Wars film every 6 months doesn't work.
Yeah, that's for certain. So, but
we've got an exciting announcement to make that I'm looking forward to.
Why don't you tell the people what we're plotting here at the Fandom Podcast Network?
Well, this is something that's been on the back burner for a while here at the Fandom Podcast Network, and that is talking about Star Wars on a regular basis. Every now and then, we'll have a Star Wars segment called Beru Stew. where we'll talk about the latest Star Wars news. And when Star Wars news comes and hits, like it did for the Star Wars Celebration, of course, we had a Bruce Stew segment on the last Culture Clash. But with the announcement of, you know, Disney Plus, and of course, The Mandalorian hitting the same day that Disney Plus goes live, and all of the other shows, as you've mentioned, the Cassian Andor series, the final season of Clone Wars, and whatever Star Wars stuff they're going to throw out there, we have decided that we are, and of course, with the release of Episode 9 coming out, we have decided that we're going to premiere an yet untitled Star Wars podcast to the Fandom Podcast Network. It's been a long time coming that we want to do, and this we couldn't think of a better time to do it. And of course, we're going to be focusing mostly on The Mandalorian when it comes out. We'll, of course, be doing probably a podcast prior to that as kind of like an introduction, talk about what's happening with Star Wars at the time. But when November 12th comes out, we'll be covering each episode of The Mandalorian. I believe it's 10 episodes. Through the release of Star Wars Episode 9, and we'll be talking about that and all the other Star Wars news. Now, Kyle and I have discussed this. We are going to be looking for guest hosts and co-hosts. Kyle and I will probably start off hosting the show, but eventually we're going to be looking for regular hosts and other co-hosts other than ourselves to hopefully man this show. We're obviously looking for people for that position that have podcasting experience, have recording equipment, and editing is a plus.
Editing is a mandatory requirement.
Yes. We would like your help with editing, of course, if you're going to man the show. But if you want to be a guest, though, you don't have to be, but hit us up later down the line. We'd love to have some guests on if you're Star Wars fans, you're listening to the Fandom Podcast Network. And we can get you on the show one way or another. But we will be looking for some guest host for a while. We're going to try out, see what you're interested. If you are listening to this and you have podcasted before and you know a lot about Star Wars, you're a big Star Wars fan, you're passionate about it, let us know and we'll get you on and you know, take you out, you know, for a tryout. We'll see what happens. And then hopefully we can narrow it down to you know, one or two hosts that can eventually take it over for us, as Kyle and I have our hands full with other shows that we co-host and produce, and Kyle edits. So, is there anything?
Well,
I'm missing,
I was just gonna say too, if you do a real good job at co-hosting or hosting the show eventually down the road, we might even let you into the basement of antiquities here at the Fandom Podcast Network. And the other thing is though, Kevin, I thought we had decided on a title. The Tales of Jedi Kyle and FPNet Star Wars podcast.
That's at the bottom of the list. Yes.
Right above Jedi Rightsel Tales, though, right?
Right below Jedi Rightsel Tales, yes. But we have a couple of names in the work, but we will be releasing this just prior to the release of Disney Plus. And just because, you know, there's going to be a lot more Star Wars in the future, a lot more to talk about. And, you know, I think the Fandom Podcast Network has been itching to put out a dedicated Star Wars podcast. Now, whether it, you know, I'm sure when shows are released, we'll definitely have it weekly. Might move it to bi-weekly every couple, you know, maybe twice a month when it's kind of slow news out there and such. Or when news hits, then we'll put out a special, you know, whether it's like a new trailer or what have you, but it will be a regular occurrence on the Fandom Podcast.
Yeah.
Network.
So, you know, send in your applications, you know, we're not too picky around here, but you know, you gotta have a little Star Wars knowledge.
But yeah, exactly. You gotta be a Star Wars fan. You gotta love Star Wars. We want to keep things positive. Not saying you can't be a little critical, but we want to try to keep things positive, keep things fun, be open to all new ideas. And if you know someone that would be interested, that has some experience behind the mic and has done some recording and might be interested, shoot them our way and let us know.
Kevin, I do have one thing, though. If we get a resume from some guy named Ryan Johnson.
I think he'll be busy, thank God.
Well, on that note, we do have a lot of things to talk about before Kevin leaves to go on vacation and defend and try to keep his head. So without further ado, let's do this thing.
This is the Culture Clash.
Welcome to.
We got some contact info.
Yeah, we
to go
do. So, without further ado, would you want to do the honors since you're going on vacation, or would you like me to?
Now I'll take care of it. Yes. So you can contact us at the Fandom Podcast Network. But if you want to hear and listen to all of our shows on the Fandom Podcast Network, our master feed is at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet is also on that Podbean app. So make sure you download that. It's a great way to check out our podcast there. Fandom Podcast Network is also on Apple Podcast, of course, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and now Spotify. We have a wonderful Facebook group at Fandom Podcast Network. Head on over there and give us a like. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. And we are also on Instagram and Twitter at Fandom Podcast Network. You can also find me, Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Kyle, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom.
There is two ways you can help support us here at the Fandom Podcast Network. One way is heading on over to TeePublic and search Fandom Podcast Network, or search, if there's a particular show that you like, search for that on TeePublic, and you'll find a lot of really cool logos that you can put on shirts and other apparel, including laptop cases and cups and stuff like that. And when you make a purchase there, we get a little kickback and help pays for our podcasting fees that we have here, because we're doing this for free. So help us out that way. Also, head on over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts. We would love a rated review. Of course, we'd love 5 stars, but we'd love feedback in general. So please help us out.
Absolutely. Now, Kevin, before we get started in news, because, I mean, it's not a lot of news since we last recorded, because it wasn't that long ago. But I want to bring up a Facebook thing I've been seeing on Facebook today. I'm sure you've probably seen it too. And it made me stop and think, because I hadn't really thought of this and didn't realize. 2019, the year we Avengers Endgame happens, and whatever sadness that's going to bring. The end of Game of Thrones, we know there's plenty of sadness there. And the end of the Skywalker saga. This is a kind of a tragic year for fandom kind.
I think the Skywalker one's a little misleading. I don't like the fact that they went out of their way to say this is going to be the final chapter, the ending of the Skywalker saga. How can that be? You know, are you telling me that lineage is just going to stop? I don't think they should have painted themselves into a corner there, saying that there's never going to be any more Star Wars stories that don't include Skywalkers. But yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of stuff that seems to be coming to an end. But, you know, Avengers is going to continue. We're going to still get more Marvel stuff. But I believe, though, this is the end of the road for several of those characters, whether they live and retire or die.
Yeah.
But Game of Thrones, you know, yeah, I'm really curious to see who's going to win that.
Yeah, that's all I know is next week's going to be bloody. It's going to be bloody, bloody Sunday.
But well, hold on, we got to do the Let's Newsy thingy.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. So you're going on vacation. Do you want to save your voice? Okay, I'm giving you the option. Okay. Then you do have extra adrenaline because you're leaving on vacation. So go ahead.
Let's news.
Let's news.
Okay. So. I'm going to be honest, we don't have a ton of news right now. It's been a little bit slow because I think everybody's just kind of in the fetal position getting ready for either what's going to happen with Endgame or what's going to happen on the next episode of Game of Thrones. I think the fetal position definitely comes more from Thrones Fear, as I'm going to call it for this week, than anything else. But Kevin, let's talk about, we have two absolutely huge things happening this week in fandom. And obviously the first one is this Thursday night Endgame opens. I know you're not going to get to see it till Sunday. I'm going to go Thursday
it's
night.
It's playing right now in Germany and Australia.
Yeah. Aaron Gill, I love you, but I hate you.
My buddy Thomas Block in Germany, he's watching it right now. Aaron's going to see it in about like 3 or 4 hours at noon, whatever her time is.
Yeah. Now, of course, we had the world premiere last night, and the early reviews coming out that are non-spoiler are absolutely raving about this movie, Kevin. They're calling it an epic, everything, the best Marvel movie ever by far. Everything you wanted out of this movie is in it. Early good buzz. The question is, Kevin, I'm going to be a little skeptical here. Is it because just everybody's so excited for this film, or do you think it's, or do you think it is going to live up to these expectations?
It's got to live up to the expectations. I would be surprised if it didn't. It's in the right hands. It's got a great cast. You know, and you know, when they filmed, I believe they filmed these movies back to back, Avengers Endgame or Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. So, you know, they had that continuity going through there. There wasn't like huge breaks in between. And speaking of, did you see the thing that I posted, the picture of Brie Larson and what she was wearing to that?
Yeah, I think you premiere? Shared it because I posted. I think you shared my post.
Was that you? Yeah. Okay.
And Scarlett was great. Scarlett Johansson had a similar thing on Curist as well.
Well, since you posted it, tell us what it was. I thought it was really cool.
Brie Larson and Scarlett Johansson, both, they were slightly differently made, but they had a ring on each finger that represented an Infinity Gem with a wrist bracelet that came down to the top of their hands, which was the final Infinity Gem. And by the way, both of really them were cool. Hot, by the way. I'm just
hot.
Saying.
Hot. Yeah, they did. They both look hot.
Yes. So, but you know what? In all seriousness, I am so excited for this movie. I want to ask you, Kevin, what are some things that you're hoping to see in this film, or that you hope we have some kind of moments with in Endgame? You have anything that like you're kind of really hoping you see, or something, or you hope happens in particular?
I honestly, I'm excited about the evolution of Hawkeye and what's going to happen with him. I really hope, and I think we're going to get it, but I really hope that Ant-Man and Captain Marvel are the part of the main ingredients to the solution to defeat Thanos. And I'm hoping that I expect some real deaths in this after this. But I'm hoping that there's a few of our favorite heroes that do live and find peace. We get to see them again one way or another. I heard rumors online the other day about a 4th Thor, you know?
Yeah, that's been rumored for a while, actually, especially if Taika comes back.
Yeah, which I would be up for. And I'm really curious to see how Brie Larson comes in as Captain Marvel to help set things straight. So, I hope that Star-Lord learns from his mistakes.
Yep. Okay, so I have a list. I have a list. So, bear with me.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said I have a list.
Oh, you have a list. Okay, go for it.
Okay, so my comic geek boy is about to kick into overdrive. So first and foremost, I want Captain. I want to see kind of maybe if everything that we've been speculating and rumors are, I would love to see at least have that moment between Captain America and Captain Marvel where the leadership baton maybe is kind of handed over a little bit. I'd like to see that.
Do you think that the Captain America title will also be handed over?
I think we'll see an inclination of it handed over, but we won't necessarily see somebody adopting the official mantle yet.
Okay. All right. What's next? What else you got?
A shot of like everybody together just after something happens that brings everybody back, because we know that's going to happen.
Right.
And just a shot of all these heroes together like on one big screenshot.
Do you kind of like we see in the original Avengers where they're all kind of have their backs to each other in a circle? And then there's also that scene in Age of Ultron where they're all like jumping into action together.
Yeah, exactly. We need to have a Spider-Man Hulk moment.
Can you be specific? And well, why?
Because Spider-Man and the Hulk really, up until the X-Men got real popular, were like the two biggest faces of the Marvel Universe for so long, especially in the 70s and early 80s, before the X-Men really blew up. So anytime Spider-Man and the Hulk got together, it was always considered kind of a big crossover or big team-up kind of deal. So
it seems like they've been putting Spider-Man and Iron Man together.
Yeah, they have.
But, so yeah, that would be kind of interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I also hope we get Smart Hulk, which is the Hulk with Bruce Banner's mind. They've done that before in the comics. They call it, usually call it like Professor Hulk.
Does he talk like Professor Hulk?
Yeah. He talks intelligent like Banner, but he's in the Hulk's okay. body.
Interesting. So, I've never that's never been brought to screen, has it?
No, it never has been.
Okay.
But the number one thing that is an absolute requirement in Avengers Endgame is Captain America finally saying it on screen. Avengers what? Assemble.
Yeah, they kind of teased that
at the end of Age of Ultron.
Yeah, but didn't say it. Yeah. You know what I miss?
What's that?
I miss Black Widow with the long red hair.
Yeah. Favorite Black Widow book was definitely Winter Soldier.
No, I'm gonna go with Iron Man 2.
That's yeah, that was it's Iron Man 2 is up there, but I think in Winter Soldier she looked really good too. So,
well, are you you gonna pee before you watch it?
Yes, I will definitely hit the bathroom and relieve any.
Or you need to wear some Depends.
No, that you're a little older. I'll save the Depends for you.
Nice.
So, not only do we have that. We have episode 3, which is our first really, truly extended episode of Game of Thrones. But before we talk about that, let's talk about this past week's episode of Game of Thrones, Kevin.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yep. If you haven't watched it yet, one, what's wrong with you? Two, go watch it. Come back in about 5 minutes. What did you think of this week's episode, Kevin?
Absolutely loved it. This was one of those episodes that was not action-packed, but had wonderful character development and brought all of these characters that we know and love, except for Cersei, together in basically sort of one room, hashing stuff out, pretty much committing to die together and finding ways to spend their last hours together. And wonderful, wonderful dialogue as yeah. well.
Great. I loved all the stuff with the scene of, I think it's the seven of them. You have Brienne and Podrick and Tyrion and the Olive, the Onion Knight and Jaime Lannister and Tormund comes in and I just like, oh God, this is the group you want to just drink all night with.
I loved when Tormund arrives and they're like, White Walkers, like, yeah, whatever, is the big woman here?
Yeah, he was the highlight of the episode by far. I mean, it was.
I want to talk about a scene that some people have issues with, and that is the controversial scene of Arya and, I'm sorry, I just drew a blank.
Gendry,
hooking up. And, you know, first of all, the actress that plays Arya, she's 20.
22, okay. Actually, now.
Yeah, 22 now? Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was underage when, of course, when this series started. It actually feels like 9 years ago now with that big break. She took control of the situation and wanted to feel like what it was like to lose it before she died.
Okay, so a couple things on this. One, HBO did come out and indicate that Arya is 18 at this point.
Yes,
they made that very clear.
Yes,
for the character. Two, when Maisie Williams got the script, she thought they were joking with her because apparently Benioff and Weiss have been known to do this with scripts.
Yes, like, they have. They've given fake scripts before.
Like in season one, when they told Kit Harington that Jon Snow was going to be hideously deformed for the rest of the series.
Didn't I see something too that it was? I think who's the girl that plays Sansa Stark?
Oh, Sophie Turner.
Yeah, that she ended up calling her saying, have you read this script? Have you seen what your character does? Didn't that what happened? They talk on the phone together.
Yeah, I think I did see something about that. But you know what? She went along with it and I had no problems with the scene. I think it actually was, it fits to me. It was a very fitting scene.
What's really funny is I actually thought when I was doing my rewatch and seeing their early scenes together, I was like, you know what? I would really like those two to end up together. They seem to have chemistry. She seems to like him. And I remember when she saved his life at that time where they were looking for Gendry because he was the bastard son and they were trying to kill all of the bastard sons or children. And that other little blonde boy that was kind of annoying was dead. And the Gendry's helmet or whatever it was, yeah, was by that boy. And so she saved his life there. And I like the fact that, you know, she wants the special weapon made. And I kind of like how there was some underlying, you know, things behind it. And she's like questioning him about, you know, the red woman and the red witch and what happened with her and all this stuff and trying to find out how much experience he had, if any.
Yeah, no, I thought, like I said, I thought it was a very fitting scene. You're talking about two people who are looking at death.
Yeah.
Well, their odds are not high. So there was that. I actually liked a lot. I liked the scene between Daenerys and Jon Snow when Jon Snow reveals the truth to Daenerys. And a lot of people, I guess, are online are complaining about how Daenerys reacted. What is she supposed to do? Be all, oh my God, well, I understand, Jon. No, she's basically being told now, wait, here's somebody who can take her throne away from her. Everything that she's been trying to accomplish since this series began and is a threat in a way to her, but she's got conflicting emotions. I'm thinking, and plus, you know, she just realized, hey, wait a minute, he's my nephew.
Yeah. You know, if they survive, I would like to see her rule the throne and he could say, look, you can have the throne. Just let me rule the North. Let the North be the North, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, but you know, there were so many great moments. And I love these episodes of Game of Thrones where you have a lot of great character moments. Yeah.
You know what scene I really liked was the scene where Sam gives the sword to Jorah. I love that scene so much. He was like, I can't even lift this thing, yeah, and I'd be honored if you'd take this. And I thought that was a great scene.
Well, what I loved even more was, and I had forgotten about this, that Jorah is Lady Mormont's cousin. And he's trying to talk her out of going into the battle. And
Lady Mormont, is that the little girl?
Yeah, the little girl. Leader? Yeah.
Oh, she's awesome. She was, and she's like, I'm not hiding in the crypt. I'm fighting.
Yeah.
I love that.
So that leads us.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love her.
So that leads us into what's coming up Sunday, which will be our first extremely extended episode, and the death watch is on.
You know what I want to see?
What do you want to see?
Okay, so you know how they were game planning in this episode 2 about how they want to try and flesh out the Night King with Bran and all that, and trying to kill him should weaken them and blah 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 this and that, and you know they're getting all of the dragon glass weapons ready and all that. What I want to see is I want to see Daenerys go up to her dragons and say, "Sorry guys, but you got to take out your brother first."
Yeah.
I want to see dragon on dragon fighting action.
I don't know if you'll necessarily get that in this one because I think that gets saved for later in the season. But okay, Kevin, let's go through some characters who you might think might be high on the Death Watch this week.
Oh gosh, I have a list.
Okay, well, we'll just start by throwing out some names and you can tell me what you think and we'll kind of banter back and forth on this. So the first name I'm going to throw out, because I unfortunately think this particular
Hold on. I want you to name all the main characters and you say dead or like either dead or survives this episode.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay. Jaime Lannister.
Survives.
Yes, I agree. Jon Snow.
Survives.
Agree. Daenerys.
Survives.
Tyrion.
Survives.
Sansa Stark.
Survives.
Arya Stark.
Survives.
The Hound.
Dead.
No, I say he survives because they got to give us the Clegane Bowl.
I didn't think about that. I retract my statement. Okay.
Theon Greyjoy.
Dead.
Yep, I agree with you there.
He's going to give himself, he's going to kill himself valiantly, though, saving
Brandon. Yeah. Brandon Stark.
Bran,
yeah.
Yeah, he's got to live.
Yeah. Samwell Tully.
I hate to say it, but I could see him dying. But wait a minute. He's in the crypt, right?
Yeah, he's in the crypt. But there's going to be a lot of people in the crypt. I think something bad is happening with the crypt.
I think he's going to survive an episode.
I think Gilly gets killed.
Possible. Yep.
Okay. Tormund.
Dead.
Yep, I agree with you.
Hate to say it, but he's going to die.
Yep, I agree with you. I can't think of the guy's name, but he's the Lord of Light guy with the patch and the flaming sword.
He's going to die again and come back.
He's not going to. Yeah, he's going to come back, but not the same. He'll be a White Walker this time around. Ghost.
Which one's that?
The direwolf.
The dog?
Yeah.
We can't saw. Kill the dog.
They've killed them all the other ones so far.
Damn it.
Except Nymeria, who's just running off in the wild.
I want him to live. I want Ghost to live.
I don't feel good about Ghost. Podrick.
I could see him dying.
Yeah, I think he's on the death watch. Finally, the character that I think was given the kiss of death, unfortunately, this week, Brienne.
Yeah, I think she's going to die in a valiant way.
Yeah.
Did you mention Gendry?
Oh, I did not mention Gendry. I think Gendry survives this episode.
I think so too. But yeah, I think Brienne's gonna die.
I think Gendry has a bigger role to play as Robert Baratheon's bastard before this is all said and done.
I agree with you there. Plus the relationship with Arya too. Yeah, I like them. I think there's a good couple. They could be a good power couple.
I will say this: I do think Winterfell falls, and I think they do retreat to the Iron Islands.
Interesting. You mean with the help of
Yara.
What's her
name? Yara. Yeah, Yara. Theon's sister, Yara.
Interesting. Okay. So you think Winterfell's going to fall, huh?
Yeah, I do think Winterfell falls. I think the final stand ends up at King's Landing.
I think that this was one of the most real... This battle took like 5 months to film.
Yeah, and this is going to be the most epic battle in the history of Game of Thrones.
In television, probably, maybe even comparable to some movies too, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if this episode is the episode, I think it's going to be, this is the episode that is nothing but a 2-hour battle.
Well, it's not going to be two hours,
but yeah, the whole episode is one big battle.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's going to be sad. We're going to lose some people, so yeah.
Yeah,
I'm wondering the people that we say we're going to live, if there's some that are going to die.
Well, here's my scarier thought is the ones that die. Are we going to see them as White Walkers?
That's a good question. They should all be making a pack. If I die, burn my body, please.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Because that's the other way they can kill them, right? Is by burning them, right?
Burning them, the dragon glass or Valyrian steel or dragon fire.
Valyrian steel does it?
Yeah, Valyrian steel does it. That's why it's such a big... Because remember in the Hard Home episode, Jon Snow kills the one White Walker, lieutenant with his sword.
Yep, that's right. I forgot about that. All right, yeah. And that, isn't Arya's dagger made with Valyrian steel?
Right now, Arya's dagger, Jon Snow's sword, Ser Jorah's sword is Valyrian steel. Jamie's sword is Valyrian steel, and Brienne's sword is Valyrian steel.
That's right. It wasn't Jamie's sword and Brienne's sword forged from Ned Stark's Valyrian steel?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. Well, I have to watch it while I'm in Vancouver, but I will be finding time to watch it probably on Monday, not on Sunday. So yeah.
Absolutely.
No spoilers, people.
Now people have been pretty good so far. This season about
there was
spoilers.
There was a couple of a-holes that I was friends with, or still friends with on Facebook that started posting some stuff. And I'm like, come on, man, really?
What's the Clifton on them?
Yeah, exactly. Quiet in the realm.
So let's talk to, we had a couple of interesting trailers come out, Kevin. Let's go with the first one, is that's a known quantity. We got the final Godzilla trailer. I cannot wait. I am excited. I talked to our good friend Michael Morris about this, who, of course, we know his love for Godzilla. He is hyped. Kevin is all mad because he thinks it's all dark CGI. And
dude, did you see the freaking trailer?
Yes, I love the freaking trailer. And your one buddy on Facebook put up a good point. It's dark, so we get the quality laser light show.
No, it's dark because they're chintzing on the CG.
I don't know. It doesn't look like they were chintzing on this.
They don't want to have battles in the daytime because they don't want to CGI all the background and stuff. But I did like the fact that it looked like they get to boop Godzilla. I want to boop Godzilla.
Yeah, that looked like it was Ken Watanabe's character who booped Godzilla, and Millie Bobby Brown gets to boop Mothra.
I did like that trailer, though, I tell you. Even though it's all bad weather and dark and stuff, it looks really cool. Now, did you say... Is the next monster movie, it's Godzilla and King Kong?
Godzilla versus Kong is the next one after this. And that's actually already wrapped filming. Like,
that's kind of a step back when you got all these other gigantic monsters coming out in this one.
Yes and no, because we don't know what the ramifications are of this movie. Because there's one of the lines in the trailer, and I don't know if you caught it, where they mentioned there were 17 Titans.
So we get Godzilla, King Ghidorah, Mothra, Rodan. And it looks like Mothra and
Godzilla are kind of on the, right? Yeah, that's always been the kind of way it's been. Mothra's always been kind of the good monster.
And then Rodan and
Ghidorah.
King Ghidorah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't there another monster?
They've been showing Mothra in both forms. Worm form and moth form.
Okay. All right. But there might be another one or a few. We don't know.
Oh, come on. You know, there's going to be some kind of stinger to tie into Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about joining that big battle that we have.
There could. I know what we know who you're hoping for, Kevin.
Who?
We know. I mean, I can't think of the name, but you know who I'm talking
Baragon.
About.
I want to see Baragon.
Jet Jaguar. That's what I'm saying. So let's talk about the other trailer that came out, because this kind of came out of nowhere. I had no idea this movie was coming out.
No idea either, man.
That is a new Will Smith Ang Lee joint, Gemini Man. This trailer is very intriguing.
Yeah. So it looks like that there is a person, he's like an assassin, right?
Yeah, and some kind of assassin or super soldier or something like that.
Yeah, then there's this other assassin that is put up against him to take each other out, and then he finds out it's him, a younger kind of like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air version.
Yeah.
And shenanigans are happening. It looks interesting, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of hit and miss when it comes to Ang Lee, so I'm gonna be curious to see how that plays out, because sometimes Ang Lee gets a little overthinking in his process.
I would agree with that. Yep.
So, but I think the big thing is, this, like I said, this movie just kind of snuck up out of nowhere.
It's got Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah. Will Smith, Clive Owen look good. Benedict Wong. Yeah. So it says here in IMDb, an over-the-hill hitman faces off a younger clone of himself. Apparently, they've been trying to get this film off the ground for like 20 years.
Yeah, 20, 30 finally. Years, something like that, yeah.
And, this was filmed in Georgia, too. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I don't know anything more about it. I don't know if this is a remake.
I just feel like they've done a Gemini Man before, but I could be mistaken.
They have. 1976, starring Ben Murphy and Catherine Crawford. This is interesting, though. The IMDb description for this film says, a man has a watch that makes him invisible when pressed. However, he can only remain invisible for 15 minutes, or else he will stay invisible forever. That's interesting.
Very interesting concept.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any more people I recognize that are in that, though. But yeah, so I don't know. This seems like a much different plot, though, than the one that we see with Will Smith. Let me see if there's any other Gemini. Yeah, I only see the new one with Will Smith in the 76. It was a TV miniseries, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. Very cool. I color me intrigued. Was it October? It was coming
yeah,
out?
I think it was October. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's going to kind of wrap up the news. And you know what? It's been kind of a quiet week. You know, I think everything's going into hiding because nothing wants to be around Endgame. But you know what? True. I think we have seen at least a few things that we're going to talk about. And once again, it is time to
buy it, stream it, or unsee it.
Now, I still need to do some movie catch-up. I still haven't had a chance to see Shazam. I haven't had a chance to see Hellboy. That's kind of in the plans.
Dude, you got to see Shazam, man. Come on.
No, I think I'm going to go this weekend while everybody, once I see Endgame, I'll maybe like on Saturday or something while everybody else is in Endgame, I'll go see Shazam.
You got to skip Hellboy.
Yeah, I do want to talk some TV catch-up because I have been doing that while kind of recovering from tax season. So I've gotten caught up on a few CW shows, Kevin. I've caught up on Arrow, which has gotten real interesting with the addition of a Highlander alumni to the show.
I'm going to need to ask you about that because I have not been watching it, so I'm curious about it.
Yeah, Adrian Paul has been a somewhat regular on Arrow the last few episodes. He's got a very interesting role. He's a bad guy in this. And things have taken a twist, and he's not quite who we thought he was, but it's a very interesting premise of what's going on in Arrow, and they have definitely had a couple of scenes that you know Adrian probably had some involvement in the fight choreography for.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, he knows his fights. He knows his fights.
So I've also caught up on The Flash. This has been an interesting season for The Flash. I think it's rebounded some from a kind of a weak season last year, but you know, it's something I'm feeling with both Arrow and The Flash, especially now that we know Arrow is ending. I think they've just about run their course. I think
Flash is ready to end, is what you're saying?
I think Flash, you could probably get maybe one, maybe two more seasons out, and then probably it's time to call it a day on Flash. But, you know, that would make seven good seasons for Flash. So,
right.
And finally, I've caught up on Riverdale and
third season done?
Third season. Still running. It's not quite done yet, but I have caught up on it. Very, very bizarre season. I'm not going to lie. Very, very Twin Peaks kind of season for Riverdale. The stuff that is going on in this, it's beyond anything you would ever think of for an Archie comic.
I heard that this following week is the final episode. We will see Luke Perry's final episode.
Yes, correct. And that's one of the reasons why I've been trying to catch up on Riverdale as well because of that. But, you know, I will say this. Even if Riverdale is not your cup of tea, there is a very good crop of good young actors in Riverdale that I think we're going to be seeing around for a very long time, especially Cole Sprouse, who plays Jughead, and Lily Reinhart, who plays Betty. Both of them, we're going to be seeing them for a good while on our movie very screens cool. and television. So, just that whole cast. There's a lot of good young actors in that cast that I think could go on to some bigger things. So I'm going to be curious to see what happens with that. But now, you haven't really seen anything at the movies, Kevin, but you did see something interesting.
I did. Well, first of all, I just want to mention that Star Trek Discovery wrapped up its second season, been renewed for a third. I am still a little few episodes behind. I know you caught up on them. And then this Thursday is the season finale. Hopefully, it's not the series finale of The Orville. And it's firing on all cylinders. That show is just so darn good.
Yeah, real quick, too, on Discovery. I know we both have had some ups and downs with Discovery this season, but I will say this. The Discovery did itself proud in this last couple. It's basically its last crescendo for this season. And if we do not get an Ant-Mount show, you're missing the boat, CBS.
that's what the fans have been saying. So I took a chance on a film that I found curious because it's based on something that happened back in 69, a horrible murder with the Manson family killing Sharon Tate and her friends, LaBianca murders. And this is coming up on the 50th anniversary of this incident. And, of course, Sharon Tate was married to director Roman Polanski at the time and pregnant with her his kid. And she was brutally murdered along with her friends, with the followers of Manson, basically. And just a quick little backstory. Back in, I want to say, the late 90s, it's now in Los Angeles. There's a museum called the Museum of Death. And it's pretty much what you expect. I went to this museum when it was originally in San Diego. And they had a bunch of like famous Hollywood like murders and murder mysteries, and they had access to like police photos, and they also had a interesting display of like death rituals from around the world, and it's a pretty morbid museum, but it's very fascinating. And I remember going in there, and they had a section on the Sharon Tate LaBianca murders. And they actually had copies of the crime scene photos, and they are gruesome.
Yeah.
And sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to ask you something real quick, because I know, I mean, there are people, and we all, I think it's human curiosity. There's always trying to be an understanding of serial killers, but especially in California, it just seems like there's something even on another level when it comes to the Manson family and all of this.
It is. It is. Charles Manson was a crazy dude, and he was able to manipulate these people to follow him into his cultish ways. And you can actually take tours in California of like these haunted tours, including this one here based around Sharon Tate's murder. But it's sad. But it's still fascinating. A lot of people find it fascinating because of how this came about and what happened with his followers and such. But the new Quentin Tarantino movie that's coming out, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is based around this. Margot Robbie, of course, who we know as Suicide Squad Harley. She plays Sharon Tate in this movie. Now, we don't know how much this movie is going to show or showcase the murders, but it takes place that same year. And so I'm sure that it's going to be based around this infamous incident. But this movie came out, was released on April 5th. I think it was direct-to-video, called The Haunting of Sharon Tate. And it stars Hilary Duff as Sharon Tate. And so, of course, I was a little kind of skeptic, because like, Hilary Duff, really, you know, former singer, actress, blah, 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 or she's still an actress. Yeah. But I was really curious about it, because I was like, okay, is this their version of retelling of the Sharon Tate LaBianca murders? So I decided to watch it. I got to say, it's not what you think. Let me put it this way. It's not a movie about these murders in the way that they really happened. What it is, it's an alternate reality, history-changing version.
Alternate history.
Of this. So let me paint it for you real quick. First of all, spoiler alert here, her character actually survives, okay? But what this movie does is it takes the idea of these of this potential, you know, murders, and it turns it into a horror type film. But instead of her actually dying, and don't get me wrong here, if you want to see them recreate these murders, you do get to see that. But what it is she's being haunted by this, like, she's having this premonition that all of this is going to happen. And Manson is kind of tormenting her by sending her these recordings that he's made, like Helter Skelter, all the stuff that was fact in you know, when they found out about him. And he thought that someone that was supposed to give him a record contract was still living at this house and blah, blah, blah. And so she's having these nightmares, but they're still being stalked by these people. Not all at once, but like at night, they're kind of like stalking them on their hikes, you know, and they're stalking them at night and looking in their windows and stuff. So they're doing this kind of horror theme telling of this. But in her, there's a scene where she's having this nightmare, of them all dying like they did in reality. And they show these murders and it's brutal in the movie. But in the end, it changes to an alternate reality where she actually, they end up fighting back and then surviving the murders. So it was a very interesting retelling of it. And it was really weird, but I actually thought it was really cool. And it was creepy. It was definitely a horror movie vibe on it, but just a different take as if what happened if she did survive. So,
gotcha.
I'm going to say stream it. Check it out. I thought it was interesting.
I must say you've been selecting such happy movies the last couple of weeks.
Hotel Mumbai, terrorist attack, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's interesting to see a different take on a famous event and have it going differently.
Yeah, you know? I'll agree with that. So, well, with that, we're going to take a quick break and let you find out what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Well, we hope you're enjoying everything you're hearing on the Fandom Podcast Network. And, you know, we love your feedback. So let us know what you think of how we're doing. And we got some exciting stuff coming. So enjoy the ride, everybody. But Kevin, we didn't do it last week because we had such a huge packed show. We didn't even leave any leftovers, though. My stomach still hurts.
Yes, brew stew. Yeah, we went all over that.
Yeah, so, but we are back and we have a couple new cult classics and guilty pleasures. And Kevin, we have to save yours for last. It's just, it's too good. It's got to be saved.
What are you saying?
I'm saying if there's anything that meets cult classic guilty pleasure, it might be this film, but.
What? Okay, go ahead.
So I want to ask you about mine because it's a Sylvester Stallone film, and I think it's one of those ones that could go either way. Some people consider it a cult classic, nope. Other people consider it total guilt of pleasure. I'm talking about the 1987 arm wrestling extravaganza that is Over the Top.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, You know, well, Kevin, I'm waiting for you to turn your hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me turn the hat around. There we go.
Yeah,
now we know
that,
business.
Yeah, now we know we business. This was Stallone's, this was an interesting movie for Stallone. Obviously one of the last really big canon films as well.
He was paid an insane amount of money for this role.
Oh, yes. Very much so. Very, very much so. And I think this movie's biggest claim to fame is the Kenny Loggins theme song from it.
What was the song again?
Meet Me Halfway.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, this is Stallone is big, is the trucker on the arm wrestling circuit in Over the Top, who his wife, whose extremely rich wife happens to be sick with cancer and has asked him to pick up their son from military school so the two of them can bond while they travel back before she passes away. Kevin, do you like this movie?
Nope. Sorry, I don't. I watched it on VHS actually about a year ago, and I'm not a fan of it. This is one of my next to Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, you know, or Rhinestone, whatever that one that he did. Yeah, sorry. I know I'm probably going to get a lot of hate from this.
Well, no, I can see it. I mean, here's my thing with this movie. There's parts of me that like this movie, but I'll be the first to admit it's not a great film. It's not one of Stallone's best, but there is something about this movie that has something that's a little bit endearing to it. But I mean, come on. The premise is crazy, but how can you not love the arm wrestling montage in Vegas, and they're at the
arm wrestling though, man. Come on.
I mean, come on. A dude drinks a quart of oil before the match.
Yeah.
And come on.
I'm sorry. This came out of what, 87, right? You know, yeah. Right after Cobra, you know, I'm like, how are you going to top Cobra with an arm wrestling film? I'm sorry. That kid was annoying.
Yeah. The kid was very much annoying. You wanted to smack him around. But I will say this, if nothing else, this film is definitely very 80s.
That I will give it. It is definitely very 80s.
So, okay, we obviously Kevin's going to put it as a guilty pleasure.
It is totally a guilty pleasure, in my opinion. But hold on. I got a caveat here. Well, not a caveat, but I have a feeling I could see people saying cult classic on this by now. I really can. Even though I'm not a fan of this film, I know a lot of people are. And a lot of people that listen to this show, I could definitely see people going cult classic on this.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think for me, it's a guilty pleasure too. I think it's one of those ones that it's a cable movie. If it's sometimes you just find it on cable and you end up sticking with it sometimes as background noise if you're doing something, but I don't think you're actively going to go seek out Over the Top.
No.
So it definitely goes as guilty pleasure for me, but Kevin, turn your hat back around because, you gave
talk,
me a,
right?
Yeah. I think I might actually seek out Over the Top before I seek out your pick.
Oh, come on, man. Really? Well, okay. So one of the reasons why I picked this flick is because tomorrow, as of this recording, I'm flying to Vancouver, Canada. I'm going to be there for a week. Doing a tour of Vancouver of Highlander filming locations, you know, for Blood Kings and another great way to see that awesome city as well. But this movie was filmed in Vancouver. Now it came out in 2002, so it's not quite 20 years old, but you allowed me to do this. And this is high on Antonio Banderas's stardom because he did 13th Warrior in what was it, 1999, and also Lucy Liu was on the rise as well. And she was kind of becoming a little action star in her own right. And the movie that I speak of is Ballistic X versus Seaver. Oh. And the story is tasked with destroying each other, an FBI agent and a rogue DIA agent soon discover that there's a much bigger enemy at work. I will be honest with you. To me, this is a guilty pleasure. It is one of my guilty pleasures. I love the action scenes in this. And so Antonio Banderas' character and Lucy Liu's character. Lucy Liu is kind of like this elusive, she's kind of like an assassin. She's after someone. And Antonio Banderas' character is tasked to hunt her down and capture her. But then they find out that they have something in common and that there's a bigger evil and they end up fighting together. It's filmed, shot entirely in Vancouver, just like 13th Warrior that he filmed a year or two prior. So it reminded me of that. And this is one of those movies. I love the location shots as well. And there's some really cool action scenes in this movie, especially when you see Lucy Liu open up on the rail gun against the police officers and really kick some major butt in this film. And the bad guy in this film is Greg Henry. Do you know who Greg Henry is, Kyle?
The name rings a bell, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's about, like I told you, it's been about 10, maybe even longer years since I've seen this.
Well, he was the grandpa in Guardians of the Galaxy in the beginning episode, the beginning of the episode of the movie, when a young Star-Lord is watching his mother die.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember him from as Val Resnick in Mel Gibson's Payback, which is one of my favorite Mel Gibson films. He was like the other guy that double crossed him, you know? He was also in the Belko experiment. He was the voice. When you see him, you go, oh, I've seen that guy. I've seen that guy. He's been in a lot of stuff. Big fan of him, and he's the he turns out to be the bad guy in this. But I really like this movie. It's got a lot of good action. Lucy Liu doesn't have a lot of speaking parts in it, but she kicks major butt in this. And then when you see the two combined together to do it, it's really, really cool.
Now, this was a point in Antonio Banderas' career where he was pulling a Sam Jackson. He was just appearing in everything.
Yes. this movie was a failure at the box office. The budget was $35 million. It grossed only $14 million. And it got panned by critics. And Roger Ebert included this film on his most hated movies of all time. This is number one on Rotten Tomatoes' list of the 100 worst reviewed movies of all time. The film grossed less than 30% of his budget at the box office, making it one of the biggest box office failures in film history. Out of 115 reviews of Rotten Tomatoes, not one is positive, resulting in a 0% rating. What's interesting is this is all part of the trivia, and these are the first four or five things in the trivia.
I can imagine it might only get worse from there.
Seaver was originally written to be played by a man, which I guess is the Lucy Liu character. The film's original stars were Wesley Snipes and Jet Li, and then Vin Diesel and Sylvester Stallone.
Didn't Stallone end up doing another movie that was Assassin versus Assassin that had, I wasn't Sharon Stone in it or something like that?
Yeah, it was called, with Antonio Banderas, called Assassins.
Yeah, exactly. So, he might have upgraded from X versus Zephyr.
Yes. What's interesting, though, is despite making several bad movies of all time list, the film was never nominated for a Razzie Award.
There's a lot of bad films that haven't been nominated for Razzie.
Talisa Soto, she was the one of the Bond girls in License to Kill.
Okay.
In Dalton's last installment, which actually is one of my favorite Bond movies. I love that movie. So yeah, it got panned. I really don't get it, because it's your pretty average run of the mill action film with a little twist here and there. I thought it was shot well. The director, what's the director's name? I forgot real quick. Hold on. Director is Weish Kasinanata, also known as Chaos. Interesting. He was born in Thailand.
Are you sure he wasn't also known as Uwe Boll?
No. he did direct the Mark Dacascos film, The Driver.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. So, yes, I know this movie's bad. That's why I'm going to say it's a guilty pleasure, because when I put it in to watch it, I feel guilty, but I love it. So here's the thing. When we put up the poll, which I'll do right before I leave,
you just completely froze.
I'm back.
Okay. Technical difficulty. Okay. It froze right when you were saying, here's the deal, when we put up the poll. So we'll just start from there. Okay. I'll count us back in real quick. 3, 2, 1, clap.
Now, when I put up the poll, I know it's going to be a guilty pleasure, but I want to find out how much of a guilty pleasure it's going to be voted as. That's where I'm kind of curious with this. So I'm not saying this is going to be a cult classic. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a guilty pleasure.
It could go the Michael Morris route of Unmake It.
No, I like this movie.
Well, with that, that's going to cover everything we got for this week's Culture Clash. Enjoy Avengers Endgame. Enjoy Game of Thrones. Have your tissues ready for both, possibly.
I hope you guys miss me. I'm going to try and sneak in for a little maybe podcast on the road type of thing. We'll see what I can do.
Yeah, if he keeps his head.
Yeah.
But seriously, my friend, have a great vacation.
Thank you, sir.
Beware of customs. Swords and customs don't get along too well. Just for saying. Yeah. Tell the lovely Erin Gill hello for me. Say hi to our good friend Andy Sloan. So
I will.
Well, with that, everybody, Kevin's gonna go pack up his recording gear and get ready to head out on vacation. He's gonna play his Beach Boys probably, or his Highlander his Highlander themes in his ears as he heads off to travel the world of Seacouver. But as always, enjoy this amazing, amazing week that's coming up in fandom with Endgame and Game of Thrones. And enjoy your fandom.